On page 1830, you'll find Philippians 4. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We'll look at that section together as basis for our message today. So Philippians 4. I'll start reading a familiar passage and it begins at verse 4. So Philippians chapter 4 at verse 4 on page 1830. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, I'm going to add sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Keep that section open. When you make sermons, you almost don't want to, like, and you have to sort of focus on one thing. It's always something. It's a reduction almost. Like, it's like, it isn't quite distilling, because somehow that would mean that you just take out something that the other stuff isn't so important. The whole verse to. Section of verses 4 through 9 is such a lovely thing. Just as an aside, if you're having a bad week coming up, if something goes, go back to that this little section. Philippians 4, 4 to 9. Just read it. Read it often. Think about it. That's my opening remark, but I really want to focus on one specific directive of Paul. It comes in verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I was thinking about this injunction to be gentle. It's quite a biblical injunction. Proverbs 15 has this line about a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Some of you who are married know the truth of that right away, don't you? You don't have to say it out loud, just think it. But it's not just with married folks, it's with anybody, friendships, relationships, there are many and all kinds. And I was thinking of extending that to how we live in the world. You know, I need to say, to be honest with you again, that I'm sort of drawn to the crazy political realms south of us, and I see what harsh words and what just bad thoughts and words expressed does to not just a people, individuals, but to a nation, to a world. A gentleness. Wouldn't it be nice to have a gentle world where people speak well of each other? We've got a new government in the province, and it hasn't been gentle yet. There's been no way of thinking about things together, about the poverty in the province, what to do about it, the complex things about transportation or how to run municipalities. There hasn't been a gentle word. We haven't seen gentleness. Gentleness is a well, who wouldn't say that gentleness is a good response to most things? This is a Christian text, this Philippians 4, but it's good for the world, isn't it? Let your gentleness be known to others. You get so much more done when you're thoughtful, when you're careful with your words, when you take some time to before you respond. Stay calm. The world needs calm, gentle people. Is that enough for you? Not for us. I know that. Not really. Being good or mild or meek or gentle are not easy, often admired qualities in anybody, actually, in our world that seeks power and glamour. Maybe our church in the world, especially perhaps in North America, is too mild, too gentle in not calling out injustice and in being sweet and sentimental, but not so much in standing against the powers of injustice. Maybe this is the wrong call for us, be gentle. Hey, Paul is in jail when he wrote this. He's imprisoned. You don't get to go to prison by being meek, mild, and gentle. So I'm not even sure that Paul is true to his own words here. Paul is in jail. And gave, as he said, his life for the gospel. If you look at verse 12 from chapter 1, you'll see. Verse 12, chapter 1. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for the gospel. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. That's not quite a sweet saccharine view of gentleness, is it? No. So what is this gentleness that you're being called to in the good old summertime? We can all develop a definition like this. It's an attitude or a mindset, a commitment to being a person who lives with a strong sense of positive reality and not afraid to extend that to other people in a thoughtful way in words, which comes from not being so anxious on the inside from you. But here's the clue. Here's the clue to that. In verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Yeah, there it is. In Paul's time, in his way, this is one of the earlier letters, he and others thought that Christ was going to return soon. The immediate meaning of this, the Lord is near line, is that they thought God would end things quickly. Christ would return, and all the promises he made about returning would then take place. And so don't be anxious. Be gentle, because it's going to be okay. Christ will come soon. We've known, haven't we? Us individually, personally, church, but denomination, but all of church history has shown that's not what that means. That he's coming again soon. There is no soonness about a 2,000-year delay in his coming. That the initial language of Paul in Philippians is, Christ is coming soon, so be gentle. Let everybody see your gentleness, because it's going to be all right soon. Paul, if you think of his theology throughout this letter, but more of it throughout all his take on who Jesus is and what his kingdom will be, Paul develops also another deep sense of what it means that the Lord is near. There's a coming glory, yes. There's a heavenly realm awaiting, yes. We'll be with God forever, yes. But the nearness of God that also is meant in this verse from Philippians is about the fact that God is in our everyday lives. Don't miss that. In fact, that's at the heart of Philippians, as you know, because we read that this morning, didn't we? That God came in the flesh. We read from Philippians 2. We said, Jesus, who being in the very nature God, made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a slave, and being found in human appearance, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. God humbled himself in Christ. God took a gentle approach to his being God. Now, understand how powerful this is. If you think of the other religions that compete for people's hearts and lives and lifestyles, you think of the God of Islam, Allah, a God there are many pictures of him, because they say there's 99 names of God, but the sense is that this God acts as he will, and you better do what he says so that mercy can be yours somehow. But God is God, and you would not hear of a God who comes in weakness to be like us, to gain us, the way it is described here in the Christ. God incarnate, God in the flesh. To those who follow Allah that way, Jesus is a failure. God is a failure, in a sense. There's no gentle God there. If you think of the meanings of reincarnation, or the Buddhist aloofness of this reality in this world, and you can throw in all the religions in that spectrum somewhere, it's our revelation of God in Christ Jesus that has God being gentle. God who lowers himself. Jesus in being God made himself a slave and went to his execution. That is a nearness that you have to take in as you think about your call to be humble or to be gentle in particular. God has entered and restrained himself and become one of us. That's deep, by the way, isn't it? But there's no other way to look at that. You can't just be humble or meek or mild or gentle to please God, and then God will love you somehow. That's not the issue. Look at, I'll read it to you. I think you know it well enough. Matthew 11, that very well-known passage of invitation. Matthew 11 at verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The self-revelation of God is that he's a humble, gentle God. He invites us into that mysterious gentleness that he has. So you proceed from your seemingly powerlessness. But remember, Paul is in jail because he firmly proclaimed the gospel. He didn't mealy-mouth that. He didn't keep that hidden. He spoke to the powers of his times, the lordship of Jesus Christ. All things, he says, he writes in Ephesians 1, all things belong to God. All things come from God. All things go to God. And God will unite all things in the heavens and the earth. This is not a meek, mild God he speaks of in that sense. This is a God who will restore all things to glory the way he intends. So the Lord is near does not mean he's coming real soon, at least if you look back on how the scripture works. But of course, it's what we hold on to, don't we? Our confessions say that, thank God. They come out of scriptures. And he is coming again. He will, to make all things new. But there's other truth of his nearness, is that he is with us. Didn't he leave this earth by saying, do as I ask. Do as I ask. Disciple each other and baptize. And don't be afraid. I am with you always till the end of your time here. So, meekness and mildness and gentleness is not about being a pushover. Meekness and mildness and humility and gentleness isn't about sweetness necessarily. It's about knowing that your power in who you live, the power that comes from God to you, is forever. And you don't have to be so afraid, and you don't have to be so anxious, and you don't have to be so worrisome that that you're going to get it on the nose if you belong to Christ, because he will take care of things. It's a context for living that helps you cope with your worries and your doubts and your fears and your troubles. Jesus is coming again, yes. But Jesus is with us now. I am with you always, working out the very purposes of a God who has lowered himself to be one of us and with us in this deeply mysterious way. Christ is one of us. He and us, he and we are one family, one relationship of brother and sister. See, I think faith gives you that kind of power, faith in him. It gives you a sense of how to think politically about things and materially about things. In fact, this gentleness is a practical thing. It's to make you think about, what are you after in life? What creates your anxiety, your fears, your doubt? Is it the stuff in your life that you're so worried about? Is it the political things? Is it your health? Is it your job? Is it, what keeps you from being gentle? Is it your anxiety, your angers, your frustrations, your ego? Paul says, as you see in that passage with me in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say again, rejoice. This is someone who says, I'm in jail, but I'll tell you to rejoice. The Lord is near. The Lord is near in these two ways that I've said to you now, the deeper understanding of the nearness of God in Christ Jesus. So don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Stay in touch with God. In 2018, if you don't do that, an awful lot will stay in touch with you. You will be, this is the little device that keeps everybody on their toes. This little device sucks us in and holds us, and it makes us, they say, addicted. It gives us digital dementia. It doesn't make us gentle. It makes us anxious because we need to, there's always more to see, know, connect with. Be careful about that. Stay connected to God is the invitation here. And look at this. Look how this thing ends. The nearness of God. You've got to stand for this. You have to rise now. Come on, stand. Because you can't hear this just by me saying it to you. You have to absorb it and take it in as blessing. And I want you to hold out your hands like this. Okay, now listen. Listen to what he says after he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. You know, how you talk to each other, what you do with each other at work, play, wherever, in your retirement places, whatever. This is what it means. Hold out your hands. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Have a good week. You may be seated. Let's pray. Gracious God, this is not an easy message in a world that likes the power that's exhibited by rich and well-off people, by the world of sports and the world of entertainment and the glamour that comes with money and wealth and power. This is not an easy message for us, Lord, who are inundated with stuff. And we ask this morning here in this place that we will sense your gentleness, God, your power, your great love, your awesome kingdom, and yet you are our gentle God. In Christ Jesus, we have seen him become our slave and die for us and live for us and call us to a life of service, even if it means suffering for that. Help us, God. We're not easy with this. This isn't attractive talk in our culture. We know this. So give us, O Lord, the gentleness of Jesus. Let us hear his invitation to come to him and rest and feel and know and experience his gentleness. And may we then extend that to each other, O God. Help us to watch our language. Help us to be thoughtful, to have thoughts that encompass your nearness. Help us to act in ways that indicate we are Christian people. The Christ of God is in us, in all we are and say and do. Oh God, we praise your name today. Thank you for blessing us in this awesome way in this world. May the peace that you offer us then go with us all week long as we practice being gentle, knowing that you are near. Amen.